हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Definitions of the Jiva and Paramatma. Okay, the Jiva. Though beyond Maya, Shuddha, the Jiva observes with attention, Vichaste, and becomes absorbed in the well-known Eta, actions, Vibhutihi, of the Antakarana, Manasa, made of Maya. Yeah. So, because he's conscious, that's why then he observes with attention. So that's the whole principle of the jiva. The jiva, when we see, as I mentioned before, Jiva Goswami was saying about when the Ladini, Samvit, and Sandini potencies are applied onto the jiva, right? Because you have internal, external, and the jiva potency. And so therefore you can apply Sandini, Samvit, Ladini, their influence onto these any of these three, and they give different effects in different places. So for the jiva, then the sandini is then the consciousness that they have, that they're aware.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Then the samvit, then that is the knowledge of Brahman, or knowledge of, you know, the spiritual. And then hladini means the experience of Brahman, right? The happiness you get from Brahman.
Yes.
And so that's the how you could say your typical neutral state. Tathasta is neutral, so that's the position. But because of the nature of it, because one's conscious, one's intelligence, one's a person, then one knows that these things are coming from some source. So where is this happiness coming from? Right, so then the jiva moves forward to be aware of the Lord and his pastimes, and then moves into that and develops prema. But those who don't, then they, with that same attention, instead of seeing the pastimes of the Lord with the devotees and being absorbed in that, right, then they turn away from that and then become absorbed in maya. So then they develop the material body, right? And then as one who's conscious of the material body, then, the next point, that jiva is called the kshetragya, because he is the knower of the field comprised of his two bodies, gross and subtle. Right? Because then he's the knower of that, you know, to some degree, as much as he, you know, wants or needs to know. It is said, bewildered by that maya, the jiva, though separate from the three gunas, considers himself made of the three gunas, and takes on material existence created by the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.5. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In order to describe the sweetness of the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes, one needs to see the Lord. But what was the purpose of Vyasa's seeing maya? This verse explains, how can the jiva afflicted by the material disease naturally taste the sweetness which is necessary for beginning to learn Bhagavatam? There can be no prescription for cure without first seeing the disease. Right? Means if you're sick, until you know what the disease is, you can't give a cure. Right? Without that, how can the patient be treated with proper medicine and food? Thus, it is necessary to see both maya and jiva. Bewildered by the covering and bewildering potencies of maya upon his sarup, the jiva, though separate from the three gunas, thinks himself made of matter and accepts material existence, anartam, a body created by that identification. Sardatta Darshini 175. So, because he's seeing the so how he's absorbed in Maya. So the point is that if the whole idea is to bring the living entities back to the transcendental position, then you have to know the disease. So the disease is because of that material identification. They're not identifying as servants of the Lord. They're not identifying as the soul and servants of the Lord. They're just identifying as the enjoyers of the body and whatever particular body they have at the moment. Yes. You know, which is developed from their particular activities of the past. But in any case, the point is that if you want to bring them forward, that means then you have to be able to work with this consciousness that's being projected onto Maya and therefore developing an identity. Right? I see Maya, I see, opportunity for happiness and the activities of happiness. Right? But to take part in those, there must be an identity. And if you don't know who you are, then what do you do? Right? You have to know who you are. So as the enjoyer of the body, then, okay, what particular body? That particular body gives a particular enjoyment. Right? You know, if you want to, enjoy flying in the sky, then you're not a fish, or a worm. You have to have a certain form for that. So, therefore, then, the living entity, that these aspects of the Sambit Sandini Hladini, then that being applied, they are identifying there. And so there's the material happiness, there's the material engagements, and then there's the 14 worlds. Right? That's the field then. And so then whatever it is he particularly wants to enjoy, that's where he's positioned in the 14 worlds, mm-hmm. with that particular body and all that. So that then gives the mundane. So then you have to change from that the material concept, the material world seen, the 14 worlds seen as the place of enjoyment, to the spirit, the spiritual world where everyone is serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then you also have the living entities, therefore, as servants of the Lord, they can, in this place, wherever they are in the 14 worlds, serve the Lord. Right? And so their activities, instead of now being for their own enjoyment, now these activities will be for the Lord's enjoyment. So, same body, same situations, now it's just connected to the Lord. And instead of material happiness, then you're wanting to see the Lord being happy. Does that make sense? Then, you're working under Sambit Sandini Hladini in their original form, in the spiritual platform. So you have to know where they are to be able to understand how to convert that. So that's why then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was pointing out that here he's seeing all these things, the jiva, and so now he has to see in a different way. Then he's able to come from the material to the spiritual. Come from the darkness to the light.
Yeah.
Right. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, can we say that the jiva, when it is in the marginal position, when he tries to come to the material world, he also sees some aspect of the spiritual world?
Yes, but he's only seeing the circumstances.
Only situation.
Yes, he's only seeing the situation of the spiritual world, the facilities. He's not seeing people using it and pleasing Krishna and being happy from that.
Yes.
That he's not aware of.
Yes.
It means that he's not interested.
Yes, yes.
Because his point is that in this situation you can do activities that bring pleasure.
Yes.
So why should I do the activities to please Krishna? I'll do the activities to please myself. So now you're dealing with material energy.
Yes.
Because the energy is one, but it has these different features. But so it's not about location. Right? It means you have the localized aspect because of the concept of time and space. But the point is that it's not limited by that. So then the living entity, therefore, then if they have this consciousness, then they're actually acting on the material platform. Just they're within the spiritual situation.
Yes.
But then it's just a matter when that form ends, you know, when the pastimes end, then when it's transferred into a material body.
Yes.
In the material situation. So it's just like here. People see situations. And the idea is I could enjoy in these situations, but no one really enjoys. But you call it enjoyment. Right? Because everybody has the idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer. And so, since everybody has that, even if you're not enjoying, everybody says we're enjoying.
Yes.
You know? And how do you define that you're enjoying? It's the situation.
Yes.
Right? You know, I want some money. I get the money. It's a situation. That I'm happy. I have the money. Okay, now what's the next thing? I can spend the money.
Yes.
Or I can go to the club, or I can go to a party, or I can buy some clothes, or,
yes,
you know, a fancy car, a nice house.
Yes.
So I have the house. Now I'm happy.
Yes.
But the actual pleasure you get from the house, that's not considered. No one worries about that. So that's the whole thing, is here, as people say, you can be happy, but it's just a situation. If I'm in this situation, then I'll be happy. But the point is one's not. That's why, well, there's dissatisfaction. That's why you keep changing from situation to situation. You know? I mean, of course, you have the principle of variety. That's from the spiritual world. So the Sundini creates that variety. But the point of that, there's, it's just a matter, I get bored of this, so there's the next. Well, in the spiritual world, the variety is already ecstasy, and it's just another one, and there's more bliss. So it's a matter of converting the living entity from the one to the other. So he sees his body, and through that body, then he thinks that this is me. But it's very important. He can only see that much. He thinks he's the supreme controller and enjoyer, even though he only knows his own body. You know, and he knows things connected with his body only as much as he is interested to know. Right? You don't know. It's like, it's so very common that people will be doing things together, but you don't know what the other person's thinking or feeling or desiring or anything like that. You know, it's later on they tell you, no, but they wanted this. And, really? Oh, wow. So that the point is they're absorbed in this material, external point. And because of that, they're suffering. And so the only way to get beyond that is to go to the natural position where you start functioning in bhakti. Right? Bhakti means now you're taking the samvit, the activities, knowledge and activities, and engaging that in the Lord's service for his pleasure. That's bhakti, because otherwise you can take the knowledge and activities and engage them connected to the Lord, but not for his pleasure.
Yes.
It's not called bhakti.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, it's just like the Karmis. They follow the Vedic literature. You know, you have to please the Supreme.
Mm.
Like that. So you see so many times in Bhagavatam, there's materialists, they have no problem that there's God and you have to serve him and things like that. But they're serving him so they get what they want.
Yes.
You know, it's just like they worship Indra to get a particular benediction or Brahma to get a benediction. It's not that they care about the personality any more than they're the one you have to please until you get it. Once you get it, they don't. It's not that Hiranyakashipu keeps worshiping Brahma throughout his life. No, he's just up to that point, and once he gets the benediction, then he bowls. So that's the thing is, we're used to taking the situations and then trying to apply activities there to gain our own pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
But unfortunately, we're not gaining that because that's not how it works. We're being part and parcel of the Lord, so that's why we have the example of when the hand or the fingers then put things in the mouth, then they become nourished and happy.
Mm-hmm.
But if they try to enjoy themselves, then they'll become weak and everything like that, and then not happy. So this principle of where You're taking, now you're seeing that Sambit and Sandhya have to, I mean Sambit and Ladini, that combination used to please Krishna, that's then what attracts Krishna's attention. Because the situation is all him, it's just his energies.
Yes.
You know, and it's already, the activities are defined, the different things, all, you know, the field is already defined, the Sambandha Gyan is already defined. But now when the living entities, then out of that devotion, then engage the energies in Krishna's service for his pleasure, that's what attracts his attention. So it's not the situations, it's not what you're working with, it's that you're doing it to please Krishna.
Yes.
Right? And one will engage according to one's nature. So one person can do very big work, like the monkeys, they can carry mountaintops.
Mm.
You know, while then the chipmunk and the spider, they can just some dust. But the point is that they're taking their energy and using it for the Lord. And that's the point. So that's the idea. You know. And so then in that way that's the equality of the souls. But you see in the activities, yes, there's going to be a difference, you know. There's going to be a difference. But the difference is not what is pleasing to the Lord. It's using that difference in the Lord's service to please the Lord. That's what pleases Him. So all souls being the same can all apply the Samvit and Ladini Shaktis in the Lord's service. And that pleases the Lord. But the situational, that's not what's pleasing. You know what I'm saying? It's an extension. Means, of course, to do the activity in that, you choose the best situation. So according to the situation, that's what activity you do. But the principle that you're doing activities to please Krishna, that's the principle.
Yes.
Then with time, if you can start to learn that, okay, this situation works best this way, that one works best that way. These are finer details. Because if you already have the principle of bhakti, then it's just a matter of I use everything for Krishna. Therefore, now I'm learning technically how the field works and then how to use that for Krishna. And then that's very nice. But otherwise, if I start with that, this is how the field is properly used. And then you get the best results. I might want those results for myself. I've done that before. That's what I've been doing since time immemorial. So that's why you see is those who are following the Vedic culture, they have no problem following the formulas of the Vedas, but they may get distracted by that mode of goodness that comes from following the Vedas. And so without the association of pure devotees, they won't get beyond that. But if they have the association, then of course, following the religious processes are very easy for them. But that's why in the descending process, you're going to teach bhakti first. That devotional service, you know, and then, you know, why we should take that, because we're the soul. So in other words, you're going to teach the spiritual along with the devotional.
Yeah.
And then you're going to teach the religious along with the spiritual and devotional. Like that. So that's the whole idea. Seems they got some new bells. That's fine. I didn't notice the bells before. I never heard them all moving together. Yeah, that's really cool. Could you imagine? Krishna is 900,000 cows, all with bells. Very melodious.
In a this means materialist is just looking for a good situation.
Yes.
Like that he can so called be happy. And a spiritualist is looking just to serve Krishna.
Yes. So in other words, the materialist is looking for a good situation because that then that is then defined I'll be happy.
Yes.
While the devotee, whatever situation is there, they're engaging it in Lord's Krishna's service to make Krishna happy.
Yes.
So there's not a proper understanding of the energies of the tattvas that they're dealing with. The materialists, even no matter how advanced they are, they still don't understand what it's actually for. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a, you know, some instrument or machine and that, and it's for a certain purpose. And the kids come across it, right? And so then it becomes part of their games. But they have no idea what it's for. They just have their own idea what to do with it. And so they'll be using it so many ways, and they may develop so many sophisticated ways to deal with it, but it's not doing what it's supposed to do. You know, it's like, let's say you have a broom or something. And so then you could fly around on it, so you could use it as a weapon, you know, like that. It could be a rocket, you know. It could be, you know, a club. It can be so many different things. But it's supposed to sweep the floor. That's what it's for. So just because the materialist has come up with so many sophisticated ways of dealing with the material energy, then we become bewildered because we think, see, the situation is developed, it's nice, and so that's our purpose. I make a nice situation, then I'll be happy. But no matter what situation you have, somebody's not happy. Whatever situation you're in that you want something higher, or there's a situation, yeah, then there's someone in that higher position who's striving for a position above that. So I say, okay, I'm at position, let's just, you know, say, I'm at position 5. So if I get to position 6, then I'll be happy. But the person at position 6 is saying, if I can get to 7, I'll be happy. And the guy on position 90 is thinking, if I can get to 91, I'll be happy. So it doesn't matter. It's because situations can't satisfy the soul. Situations are just environments in which you perform an action that is supposed to produce happiness. But you can only get happiness in connection with Krishna. So if I can only get happiness by serving Krishna, that means then all activities have to be to please Krishna. Yes. And that means all situations that I'm in have to be used to and activities that please Krishna. Yes. So it's a very straightforward form, because this is not understood. Therefore, then, everything else is wrong. So probably gives that example, is that you can have one of these very big mathematic equations, you know, the ones that take up the full board, you know, one of those. But if one part's wrong, the whole thing's wrong. So because the part about how it's all connected to Krishna and all that, that's wrong, so it doesn't matter what they do. Even if technically you're doing things right according to the Veda, or you're not, you still won't be happy, because you're missing out the point of it's to please Krishna. And you can only be happy in if we're pleasing Krishna. What's that? Yeah.
What we are looking for, I think many people understand that we cannot be happy with the body, but we try to be happy with the mind.
Yes, but it's still the same thing. They look for liberation, they look for arts or flavors, or, but the point is, it's a situation. What do you do? The mind has to be in a situation. So someone wants to be in nature, someone wants to be in a refined environment. Let's say we go to the, you know, what's it, Gothenburg, you know, place, or go to the Louvre. You know, someone else wants to, you know, do something else, you know, whatever it is that they want to do, read a book, and that, but it's still, we're thinking, this situation will make me happy. It's still the same thing. Whether it's gross or subtle, it's still the same principle. So, yeah. Okay. How is the mind made of maya? It is undertaken, rachitasya, by the jivas, jivasya upadhi, by his identity with it. Right, so the mind becomes made of maya when you identify with it. If you identify as servant of Krishna, the mind's not made of maya. What is the antakarna? It acts against the Lord. Avishuddha kartu. What are the actions of the mind? So, the antakarna, when we're dealing here, because then it's the subtle body, then it's what deals against the Lord. Because then, why? Because we're identifying as something other than servant to the Lord. Where values are other than pleasing, serving the Lord. Our intelligence is used to how to manipulate the material nature, so I can serve myself, not the Lord. The mind is choosing between the various opportunities, you know, on how to please oneself, not the Lord. So therefore, the antakarana becomes the enemy. Why? Because the consciousness is polluted. Consciousness is pure, then the mind, intelligence, and ego then are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. They continue without beginning, nityaha. When do the actions take place? They manifest, avibhutaha, during waking and dream states, and are invisible, tirohitaha, during deep sleep. So during awaking and dreaming, then you see the mind, you know, working and trying to enjoy things.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. The Purusha. Okay, so now we've discussed the jiva. So basically the first was describing the general principles of that, how you can tell the difference. Then the details of the jiva, now details of Purusha. The other kshetragya is the Purusha, who is the cause of the universe, and who is eternal, Puranaha. He is self-manifesting, Shakshad Svayam Jyotihi. Right? The living entity is not, the living entity is manifest by the Lord, and the gross bodies are gross and subtle bodies are manifest by Maya. Unlike the jiva, who is dependent. He is without birth, Aja. He is the master even of Brahma and others, Pareshaha. He is the shelter of all the jivas, Narayana, since they are under his control. This form is called Bhagavan, since he is an amsha of Bhagavan. So he's called Bhagavan, meaning the having all the six, opulences and all that. Because that's what he works with. He's known for having the energies, controlling the energies, so he has all the energies. And so he's called Bhagavan because he's an amsha of Krishna. Like that. But he's controlling these energies rather than performing pleasure pastimes with the energies.
Yes.
Like that. Not that he's interacting and he's not having a good time, but it's that this is not a full manifestation, so it's localized. It's only for this particular place.
Yes.
And that particular place means it's a function rather than it's a exchange of rasa. Because with the material energy, there's no exchange of rasa for the Lord. The jivas, yes, but for the Lord, no. So he controls the energy, but it's just duties. So since he deals with the material energy as just duties, therefore then the living entity, to be able to commune with the Lord, then he has to also perform his duties without attachment. Right? So if we don't want to perform our duties because of our attachments, Then we're detached from our duties. Yeah, we're supposed to have developed detachment. So I'm very detached from my duties, and I'm very attached to someone else's duties. But that's not how it works. Krishna is performing his duties without attachment. So then naturally we will perform our duties without attachment to please him. So he's taking care of the living entities. We do everything to please him. Then you have community. Now then you can move with the Lord. But otherwise, if you're thinking different, then you can't move with the Lord. It means he's always with you, but you're not appreciating that. Yeah. He's an amsha Bhagavan, manifesting a portion of Bhagavan's qualities, such as Aishwarya. He is called Vasudeva because he is the abode of all beings. He is established in his Sarup, Atmani, by his Sarup Shakti, Swa Mayaya. The verb has a passive reflective meaning. Even though the Purusha enters into illusory Maya as the Antaryami, he is situated in his Sarup by his Sarup Shakti, and is never contaminated by Maya. So even though he's here and controlling everything here, he's situated in his internal potency. He controls the internal potency. The internal potency controls the external, or transforms as the external. That's why you have the original cause, then the formal cause. Mm-hmm. So the original cause, Krishna, only deals with the formal cause, is internal potency. The internal potency then transforms as the material cause. Mm-hmm. And then the jivas, then they are the ones who are the instrument. You know, and it appears that they're the ones doing the things that cause everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... He remains separate because he is the knower of all fields, as Vasudeva, the abode of all beings. Distinction between Paramatma, and the jiva. One kshetragya, the jiva, is bewildered by maya. The other kshetragya, the paramatma, atma in verse 5, 11, 13, is pure. Thus the chief kshetragya is paramatma. It is said, the jiva who can know paramatma knows all about his body, but does not really know the omniscient Lord. I worship that Lord with infinite qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.25. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada. Material scientists can make an analytical study of the physical elements. The body, the senses, the sense objects, and even the air that controls the vital force. But still they cannot understand that above all these is the real spirit soul. In other words, the living entity. Because of his being a spirit soul, In other words, the living entity, because of his being a spirit soul, can understand all the material objects. Or, when self-realized, he can understand the paramatma, upon whom yogis meditate. Nevertheless, the living being, even if advanced, cannot understand the supreme being, the personality of Godhead, for he is ananta, unlimited in all six opulences. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.25, purport. Right? So, if he's not God-conscious, he can only know what's around him, the body, the senses, things connected in that way. If he is understanding his position as a soul, then he can understand the soul and the eternal nature. Then when he connects that to the Lord, then with devotion, now he can know the Lord himself. Because the Lord's unlimited, how he will know? We're so small. It's not logical that something so small can know something so big. So that means Krishna reveals himself through his potencies. Then being in that potency, you know, one could say, but how can that potency be there? It's just like, how does electricity function in wire? Right? The wire is there. It doesn't have that potency. But then that potency can move. Right? So. Vriti. Next, what you can do between these, put the asterisks. Vriti. Next, the author summarizes the 13th chapter of Gita, wherein the difference between Maya, Jiva, and Paramatma is explained by describing the field, the two knowers and the knowable. In the Gita it said, O son of Kunti, this body is called the field. Those in knowledge call the person who knows this field the knower of the field. Bhagavad Gita 13.2, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the knower of the body, the living entity, and the position by which he can understand the Supreme Lord are described. In the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship between the individual soul and the supersoul in regard to devotional service are described. The superior position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the subordinate position of the individual soul are definitely defined in these chapters. The living entities are subordinate under all circumstances, but in their forgetfulness they are suffering. When enlightened by pious activities, they approach the Supreme Lord in different capacities, as the distressed, as those in wanted money, the inquisitive, and those in search of knowledge. That is also described. Now, starting with the 13th chapter, how the living entity comes into contact with the material nature, and how he is delivered by the Supreme Lord through the different methods of fruit of activities, cultivation of knowledge, and the discharge of devotional service are explained. Although the living entity is completely different from the material body, he somehow becomes related. This is also explained, Bhagavad Gita 13.2 purport. All right, so all the ways that activities that he can perform, karma, jnana, and yoga. Right? And then how the relationship between the living entity and the Lord, how Lord is supreme, the living entity is subservient. Now in these chapters, then we see, now we get into technical points on showing just how all this works. O descendant of Bharata, now that I am also the knower of the field in all bodies, O descendant of Bharata, know that I also am the knower of the field in all bodies. According to me, knowledge means knowledge of the field, and knowledge of the two types of knowers of the field. So then, knowledge of the field, right? So that's the achit. Then knowledge of the two types of knowers of the field. So that's chit and ishwara. So knowledge of the jiva, knowledge of the Lord, and knowledge of the material world, that then is knowledge. That's then, that's why you see in the Veda and the Upanishad, yeah, in the specifically in the Shruti Prashtan, then you have that it's about knowing these three. Then, okay, what's the relationship? The Lord is superior, the jiva is junior, right? And so then, now this knowledge, how do you apply that? So then that's going to be sadhana. And what's the goal? Sadhya is to develop love for God. Because any other sadhya will be temporary. Right? If it's liberation or material facilities, you know, fruit of facilities, heavenly planets like this, that's all temporary. So then you actually know things properly. Because if you think, no, but liberation or the material world will be good, but then the problem comes is that then we don't really know the material world. We don't really know the living entity or the Lord. Because if we understand the living entity, he can't be satisfied with dead matter. Because as we mentioned, here material happiness is situational. And you're so it means it's all going to be dead matter. So it's because it's better quality dead matter doesn't mean that it's changed the position that it's dead matter. So that's the whole point. It's a problem. So it's only when our focus is not on the situation but on serving Krishna. That's what you see is what is the unique feature of the Brajbasis. They're appreciating the moods in that of Vrindavan because they're so perfect for serving Krishna, right? But the particular facilities of Vrindavan, that's not where their focus of attention is. There's different situations you serve Krishna nicely, but they're not bewildered by it or attracted by it. It's not a major position. It's just something you use. You know, it's just like, let's say if you have someone who, both their parents are top chefs. So the kitchen is going to be outfitted with all the whatever's the best. But for the parents, that's just normal stuff. You know, that's what you use. And so the child grows up in that, so of course they use that. So it's not about, we've got this pan. You know, if they're sitting talking with friends, they won't talk about that stuff. But now let's say someone grew up, they didn't have that. And then they get that. Oh, they got to talk about, like that. You know, you cook and go, wow, this is nice. Or you know why it's nice? Because I got this frying pan, or I got the ingredients from here or from there. Oh, it was so much trouble. You know, the technique and the recipe. And that's what they'll all go on about. You can't just enjoy the meal. They have to bring it to the situation. Like that. But the other one is, okay, nice, it's good, you know, like that. It'll be trying to encourage you in appreciating the flavors and that, and, you know, did you notice this spice or that, and like that, and then, oh, yeah, wow, you know, oh, hey, you can try it with this, it'll get more flavor, mix this with this, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it'll be completely different, the discussion. So, for the Brajbasis, that Vrindavan is the most opulent place. You know, most mystical place in the cosmos, it doesn't matter to them. It's just the perfect place to serve Krishna. But you see, once you leave Vrindavan, then the Aishvarya becomes an important part. So that the place is so fantastic, it becomes part. Now, of course, now, if it's fantastic, so now here you have the two things. Is that, now we take the place as fantastic. Okay? So now you can have two ways of looking at it. You see, just a head going by. There's two ways you can look at it. This place is fantastic. So, therefore, you know, God's fantastic, so now this is the perfect arrangement to offer to God. Or, this is fantastic, now I can enjoy. So, the problem is with these three options, we in the beginning chose that third option.
Yes.
So therefore we're transferred here where that's what everybody does.
It is not so fantastic.
It's not as fantastic as we projected it is, as we'd like to think it is, or hope it is. So, but it's still amazing, even though this is the external energy, and it's, you know, very minimal of the potency of the Lord, but still it's amazing how everything works and grows, and, you know, the seasons change and all this and that. And, you know, the ocean comes up to that point and stops. You know, you see in these big cities or anywhere where they're right on the ocean, you know, they have things right up to here, they know the ocean will stop here. And it does. It's something so big. How can something so big stop right there? You know, that's like an elephant that, you know, has the ability to you know, do things within, you know, just like a nanometer, you know? You don't expect that. So how can something so big just stop there, and on the other side it just stops there?
Yeah.
It's so big. It's, I mean, you can see as if you do have a little bit of more, how easily it just comes in and wipes things out. You know, so it's not a problem for it. But it just stops right there. That's amazing. You know, so there's so many amazing things. But that's the whole point, is then use all this in Krishna's service. That's what it's there. The energies are Krishna's energies, and they're serving Krishna. So now we can take part in that as instruments, or we can think we're the enjoyer, and then will be punished. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's what it's for.
And choice is always ours.
A choice is always ours. Yes.
At any moment we can.
At any moment. We may say, no, the circumstances were such, I couldn't do this or that. But the point is you can. But, you know, because for us, circumstances are so prominent, therefore. And that's why then you see is that there's the you could say is that the all the Vedic sciences on how to deal with the circumstance, different varieties of circumstances in varieties of ways. But ultimately, it's for serving Krishna. So I know the science of a particular field. So now, but that's not, when you use it in Krishna's service for His pleasure, then it becomes complete. Otherwise, if I know the field nicely and I know how to use it and I just use it, then it's better than someone who's speculative. It'll get better results. But real results means pleasing Krishna, because anything else is temporary. Nice results, bad results, it's all temporary. Point is the nice results, that you can easily engage in Krishna service. The bad results, harder to engage in Krishna service. Srila Prabhupada, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The body consists of the senses. The Supreme Lord is Hrishikesha, which means the controller of the senses. He is the original controller of the senses, just as the king is the original controller of all the activities of the state. The citizens are secondary controllers. The Lord says, I am also the knower. This means that He is the super knower. The individual soul knows only his particular body. In the Vedic literature, it is stated as follows. Kshetrani hi shari rani bijam chapi subashube. Tani veti sayogatma tatak kshetra gya uchete. This body is called the kshetra, and within it dwells the owner of the body, and the Supreme Lord, who knows both the body and the owner of the body. Yeah. Therefore, he is called the knower of all fields. Right? So we know our body. Krishna knows all the bodies. The distinction between the field of activities, the knower of activities, and the supreme knower of activities is described as follows. Perfect knowledge of the constitution of the body, the constitution of the individual soul and the constitution of the supersoul is known in terms of the Vedic literature as jnana. That is the opinion of Krishna. That's real knowledge. Everything else basically is not so important. Even we say, because here's another way we can say it's all what going on, all knowledge that goes on in the material world, it's all art. It's not actually science. Because they're not practically applying it how it's supposed to be applied. You know, so like if I'm taking the broom and I'm swinging it through the air and all that, you know, can I call it science? You know, it's just an art. Well, no, I turn it sideways so that it doesn't slow down when I swing it. I can swing it really fast. Well, if I swing it like this, it gets catches the air. So that's science, right? But the point is you know, it's only when the broom's properly used to clean up dust in the proper way, then it has some meaning. So the non-application of all material knowledge not for Krishna means it's an art because they don't know what they're doing. They get different results, but then the results they get today, after a few years, it's decided that that's not good. You know what I'm saying? It means what today they say is the most fantastic, newest, latest, greatest, and all that, but after a few years they go, oh, this is bad for you. You know, so you can say, oh, see so much advancement, but at the same time, is it? You know, advanced in what? You know, just making trouble for yourself? So that's the position, is they don't actually understand what they're dealing with.
If we don't know who we are, we cannot know what is happiness.
No.
If we don't know who
that's why one of the first points is we're not the body, we're the soul, because that's spiritual knowledge. So we give them spiritual knowledge. And by understanding that spiritual knowledge, now you can apply it towards the Lord in devotion, that makes now devotional knowledge. You understand? So, spiritual knowledge is superior to material knowledge. So that's why jnana is considered superior to karma. Because you're dealing with spiritual knowledge. You know, if it's a proper jnani. You know, we're not talking about all these bogus guys. And so, but until it's engaged in the Lord's service, it doesn't become perfect. So we have a knowledge of the soul, knowledge of all these things, what is spiritual, what's material, the difference between all these things like that. So this is knowledge. That's what Krishna says. Then using this to please the Lord, that's bhakti. Because you can use this knowledge for liberation or your own purpose. Right? So that's why it becomes knowledge when you properly, but it only becomes real when it's connected to the Lord properly. Then it's bhakti. So that's why then, if by connecting knowledge to Krishna, it becomes proper, real knowledge. That means then when activities become connected, you know, with that knowledge to Krishna, then it also becomes proper. So that's why then karma, the activities of this world, then can be engaged in the Lord's service if they're connected properly.
So can we say that activity follow knowledge?
Activity?
Follows knowledge.
Yes, in one sense, without knowledge, how do you act? But at the same time, by acting, you get knowledge. That's the whole point of manana. That's why in manana, you get an understanding. I've heard in Shravana. I've asked questions. I've cleared my doubts. Now I'm committed to applying it. Now when I apply the knowledge, then that's where I get the understanding. So in other words, you could say, based on knowledge, you have activity. But now, that combination of knowledge with activity, that gives you understanding. So then that understanding, that's the jnana. So that means then jnana actually means applying this knowledge. You know about the soul, you know about the super soul, you know about the material nature. Applying that, that's called knowledge. Just knowing the theory of it, yes, it's you could say it's knowledge, but it doesn't become complete until, and so now when it becomes vijnana, now you can say it's realized knowledge. Then that becomes actually proper, because now you're situated in serving Krishna. Right? Yeah. Okay. To understand both the soul and the supersoul as one yet distinct is knowledge. Right? So they're both above, but they're still distinct. Right? They're both spiritual, but then one's the supreme spiritual. One who does not understand the field of activity and the knower of activity is not in perfect knowledge. One has to understand the position of Prakriti, nature. Purusha, the enjoyer of nature, and Ishwara, the knower who dominates or controls nature and the individual soul. Right, so modern knowledge is that they observe a particular aspect of the field, but they don't actually know the field. They know some aspect, and they don't actually know who they are or who is the people that apply it. And they definitely don't know Ishwara, because that they're trying to avoid. One should not confuse the three in their different capacities. One should not confuse the painter, the painting, and the easel. This material world, which is the field of activities, is nature. And the enjoyer of nature is the living entity. And above them both is the supreme controller. The personality of Godhead. It is stated in the Vedic language, in the Sweta Sautara Upanishad 1.12, Bhokta bhogyam peri taram cha matva sarvam proktam trividham brahmam etat. There are three Brahman conceptions. Prakriti is Brahman as the field of activities. And the jiva, individual soul, is also Brahman and is trying to control material nature. And the controller of both of them is also Brahman, but he is the factual controller. So that's from Sweta Sutara Upanishad. Right, so right there it's mentioning three kinds of Brahman. Yes. So that means there is variety in Brahman. But Brahman has the transcendental position. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's Bhagavad Gita 13.3 purport.
It seems quite important to understand this topic, because in the Gita it is after 12 devotional service. So we can say devotional service is the top, so Bhagavad Gita can stop it. Chapter 12. But now there is explanation about...
But all these things are there so that you know how to deal with the field. Because if you give this knowledge earlier, you get confused.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Too much technical knowledge, you get confused because you don't know what it's for.
Yes.
But when you deal with the principles that are there and then the major aspects so that you understand that, then that's what's done in the first six chapters. Now, having done that, now you show the relationship with the Lord. Who is the Lord in our relationship?
Yes. Yes.
Now you can deal with technical points.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's just like, let us say we're dealing with all these, you know, various technical points that are there, you know, in the first cantos of Bhagavatam,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, you know, it goes through. It's a slow study and everything like that. I think, what is it, second canto? When we were discussing it the first time around, it's I think one of the shortest cantos, other than 12.
Yes.
It only how many chapters it has. But it's not very, it's not so many.
Hmm? Maybe 12 or 13.
Yes, very, very small amount. So then, and you see of the books that are printed, it's the smallest of the books,
yes.
you know, other than the 12 canto.
Yes.
But the first time we were discussing it, it took 2 years, just second canto.
10 chapters.
Huh?
Maybe 10 chapters.
10 chapters, okay. So it took two years. But then when we get to 11th canto, which is much bigger, it's twice as big, if not more, then we went through all these things very quickly. Because now all these things have been discussed, all this, that. Now you can get into the very technical stuff. So what's in 11th canto, the presentation is more technical than the others. And by it, now you understand what they were talking about earlier. So now with the knowledge of the last six chapters, now you can understand all the technical points in the first six chapters. So it's just how it's done. Yeah, it means as we were discussing, you have to already start from something you You have to connect to what you know. Right? And so then that's what the first six chapters do. What you know, it takes you step by step from there. Then now knowing that knowledge, and then that in connection with the Lord, now you can learn the details of that, because now you already know that major aspect. So now you can learn the finer details. That doesn't make it higher knowledge, it just makes it more technical knowledge. Like you said, the middle six chapters are the important thing. Right? Someone can complain, no, but it comes afterwards. Okay, if that's the way it works. Then, let's say you have a person who's, you know, very fixed on, no, these last chapters are most, you know, they're more of an intellectual, that's the most important because it's the last chapters and all that. Then you invite them for a snack. Put down two pieces of bread, like that, and then, how you say, you know, put something on them, you know, put some fillings, whatever you like, you know, some cheese or this or that, and condiments and all that, and then you put another piece of bread on the top, right? And they're quite good. Say everything's in order, yes. And then you say, yes, so... And so he's thinking these last, that's for the higher, like that, and these other ones are for the lower. And you say, yes, we agree. So we first put these first two pieces of bread. Then we put the filling on top of that. Then last, as the pinnacle of perfection, we put the other slice of bread on top of that. And since you're the most intelligent and all that, I'm giving you these two top pieces of bread, and I'm taking these two. Because the lower is for people like me, and the top is for you. Yeah?
Yes.
Would they be happy?
Maybe not.
Yes. Especially if you didn't put butter on the tops and slices. You only put it on the bottom ones.
Yes. Yes. We should even do that.
Hmm? Yeah, no, you could definitely. Next time you have an argument, then that. Here, come. Let's, why argue? Let's eat, you know. So that's the whole point. It's like in Sanskrit, it's called sampat. What's in the middle is the important thing. So you begin with something, you end with the same thing. But what's in the middle, like Om, you begin with Om, end with Om. But what's in the middle is what's being explained. Right? So in the same way is that these middle six chapters, that's what's being explained. But to understand the middle six, you have to hear the first six.
Yes.
But to be able to technically use the first six, yes, you hear the last six.
Yes.
Yeah, so we can see in a descending process, then you're going to, the details will come later.
Yes.
Right? So in ascending, they also start with simpler details to get up to complicated details.
Yes.
But we see in the Vedic, no, it's to get to the principles. So the principles are given first. Then you apply to, you know, more general principles or specific, and then more details and like that. So you do have a similar kind of thing, but the difference is that you always know what the purpose is in the beginning.
Yes.
While in the ascending process, there's a good chance you'll never get to it at the end.
And there is no conclusion.
No, there's no conclusion. Because that means, it's just about how to put the... You only have a limited amount of details. Yes. I mean, you can add, someone adds new details, and that always makes it more fun. Yes. But then, you know, all these different departments in chairs will be fighting over the same details.
Yes.
And who can put them together in the most unique way and therefore get recognized. But the point is that for us, it's the principles that's the important thing. That's what can be always discussed. That's what becomes elevated. So that's the highest point. You know. So therefore, the sweetness and the clarity. You know. Yes. And we can, what do you call it? Speak it with boldness.
Yes.
Kshetra Gyam Chapi Mam Vidhi means know me to be the knower of all fields, right? All the bodies. Because the field of activity is the body. And then it expands from there. Because you can only interact, you can only your senses of your body, you can interact with the environment around you. So you know everything by its connection with your body. You're connected with the subtle body, it's connected to the gross body. The gross body is connected with the external environment. So the field of action is that body and its connection with what's going on outside. So you can say field, oh, well, this is my field. No, your body is the field, and your body functions in this with these sense objects. Does that make sense? Yeah. This is not like the jiva who knows only his own body. The statement does not indicate identity of the jiva and the Lord by suggesting that a person should know how a single conscious substance without qualities, in other words, know me to be the jiva. Or, for example, that's it, know me to be the jiva. Otherwise, the phrase in all bodies would have no meaning. Later, the word explains the distinction between himself and the jiva, right? Means if they're the same, then why would you be making the distinction here? Right. Why would you be making the distinction? Because if they're the same, then the jiva knows all bodies, the Lord knows all bodies are the same. So there's a distinction, because you can't say he's the jiva, because then the jiva knows everything? That's obvious, we don't know. But we'll say, no, we know Brahman, so we know everything. Like that. But at the same time, as they don't have... Krishna knows everything, but at the same time, he can apply that knowledge. Like that. While we can't. You know? We can't control the material energy. Okay, so the distinction, later the Lord explains the distinction between himself and the jiva. I will now speak about the object of knowledge, knowing which you will attain liberation. This Supreme Brahman, Paramatma, is without beginning, takes shelter of me, and is beyond material cause and effect. Right, so Paramatma is taking shelter of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita 13:13 means he's an amsa, Krishna. Mm-hmm. Udviti. The Lord has explained the field of activities and the knower of the field. He has also explained the process of knowing the knower of the field of activities. Now he begins to explain the knowable, first the soul, then the supersoul. By knowledge of the knower, both the soul and the supersoul, one can relish the nectar of life. As explained in the second chapter, right? Because when you know that, then the nectar of life is that devotion and that exchange between the two. So this is just this is the spiritual understanding. When you apply that, then it becomes bhakti. So bhakti is the supreme science. So that's why it calls it the complete science. Because that's actually the applied and the supreme, the relationship between the living entity and the Lord. Right? As explained in the second canto, the living entity is eternal. This is also confirmed here. There is no specific date at which the jiva was born, nor can anyone trace out the history of the jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is beginningless. The Vedic literature confirms this. Najayate mriyate va vipaschit. Katha Upanishad 1:2:18. The knower of the body is never born and never dies, and he is full of knowledge. So that means they're beginningless. They don't have a beginning. You know, they're always existing. Like that. Then you have, The knower of the body is never born and never dies, and he is full of knowledge. The Supreme Lord, as the Supersoul, is also stated in the Vedic literature. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6:16. To be Pradhana Kshetragya Patir Gunesha, the chief knower of the body and the master of the three modes of material nature. In the Smriti, it is said, Dasa Bhuto Harer Eva. Nanyasyaiva kadachana. The living entities are eternally in the service of the Supreme Lord. This is also conferred by Lord Chaitanya in his teachings. Right? So he's saying that the jiva is the eternal servant of Krishna. That's his natural position. Therefore, the description of Brahman mentioned in this verse is in relation to the individual soul. And when the word Brahman is applied to the living entity, it's to be understood that he is Vijnana Brahma, as opposed to Ananda Brahma. Right? Ananda Brahma is the supreme Brahman personality of Godhead. Right? So he is the Ananda Brahma. Right? So we're the Vijnana Brahma, and yes. So then the would be the what do you call it? Anamoy, Pranamoy, Manamoy. That would be the material energy.
Yes.
Right? That's the thing, those features. So you have those who are, you know, pious, following the Vedas, those who are so-called sophisticated but are atheistic, make up their own system, and then those who are not moralistic or animists.
Yes.
So you have those three levels. So that's why then the devotee, as a sadhaka, is situated in the Vijnana Maya platform.
Yes.
In that being situated there, then he's progressing to Ananda Maya.
Yes.
Like that. And also, is what was the Vijnana Maya Purusha? Do you
the
remember?
Basis is the jiva, and knowing the meaning of the scriptures is the head, and then actually attaining is.
Okay, yeah, it means realizing this knowledge.
Yeah,
so that...
Having faith is the head. Then
yeah, having faith. So when the jiva has that faith in the Lord, in the scriptures, mm-hmm. then he's able to then understand the knowledge of the scriptures and practically apply it.
Yes.
Right? It means, in other words, knowing it and applying it.
Yes.
That's then the right and left hand. They two go together. You have to know the knowledge, and you have to be able to apply the knowledge, realize the knowledge. And so then that will be the... And so that's the position he works from. Then he can come to the platform, the Anandamaya. Do you remember Anandamaya?
Basis is the Brahman, and then there is Pramoda. This one thing is bliss, one thing is ecstasy, and another... There are three. One is ecstasy, one is bliss, and the third one is Pramoda.
Oh, okay. There's
ecstasy, bliss, and then...
Happiness, maybe?
Happiness, not the happiness.
Something else. So then the whole point is that theirs is situated on Brahman,
yes.
But it's actually about the variety of tastes of devotional ecstasy, rasa. So that's the Anandamaya Purusha. Right, where you just know, okay, there's the knowledge, the scriptures, you have that faith, you move forward, then that's the Vijnana Maya.
Yes.
But if you don't have that faith in the scriptures and that, then it's not a great place to be. So, therefore, then you can have a dichotomy where, by philosophy, you're accepting the Supreme Lord and the Jiva and their relationship, and you have faith in that.
Yes.
And then, you know, the basis of that knowledge. But then you don't have. But then, by religion, you don't have faith in the Vedas,
yes.
And so then religion, you're using one of the lower dharma, artha, kama.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But if you're not accepting the Vedas, there's a good sense the dharma aspect is not there. So it's going to be artha or kama.
Yes. Yes.
And so then it's not a natural position.
Yes.
It's harder to connect those. So then the religious aspect will be weak. In that combination, in that formula.
Yes.
Well, then the sadhaka, then he has faith in the scriptures, guru, sadhu, and shastra. So he's situated there.
Yes.
And like that. And then those things from the lower, dharma, artha, and kama, those are just engaged in the Lord's service. So they take on that Vijnana Maya platform. They take on the spiritual platform.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so then, because of that, you become situated in the spiritual, then you can take part in the Lord's activities, the Ananda.
Yes, yes. There, Maharaj, the head is the pleasure, left arm is the delight, right arm is ecstasy, and the torso is bliss. Pleasure, delight, ecstasy, bliss.
Okay. Yeah. So that's Anandamaya. When you're dealing in pastimes with the Lord, real liberation, that's what you get.
Yes.
The other is just, you know, knowledge and knowing, and that's the happiness you get. Because I know, then I'm happy. But here it's beyond, it's actual. You know, pleasure, what, delight, bliss.
Ecstasy, pleasure, delight, ecstasy, and bliss.
Bliss, right, yeah.
miserable.
Yeah, so it's a whole different level.
Yeah.
And so this is explained in the Upanishads. But the thing is people don't understand this, and so they try to interpret that. Jaimini will try to interpret those that happiness down on the lower platform of Dharma. You know, Shankara will try to explain it on the platform of liberation. But no, it already explains what's there. You know, and what's there is that's what it is. So you can't switch the positions. You know, as it is. So that's what's there.
That's why it's said here, Vijnana Brahma is the Jiva and Ananda Brahma is the Supreme Lord.
Yes. So that means that the soul is spiritual, but he's the original spiritual. So when the spiritual is in contact with the original spiritual, or the supreme spiritual, in devotion, then that is then one tastes that Ananda. Because he's already there with his Surup Shakti. Now if we want to be there, then we take part. Because his Surup Shakti is non-different from him. So it has that in that position. While we're Tathastra Shakti, so we're on that Vijnana, you know, platform. What was the one he used here?
The Purport, I think, Prabhupada is towards the end of Purport knowledge.
Okay. Vijnana Brahma. He's the Ananda Brahma. So Surup Shakti is also Ananda Brahma. It's the Ananda of the Brahma. He's the Brahman, then he's the Brahma, and that's the Ananda. And so then our positions, we're Vijnana. So then we can be engaged in the service of the Lord. And if we do, then we'll taste that same Ananda. Like, that's why the example is given of iron and fire. Right? Not wood and fire or, you know, something. Iron and fire. Because it's something, another aspect, another feature. But being in the fire, it's non-different. So therefore, the jiva, therefore, when they come to the platform of prema, it's non-different because they're in the fire of the internal potency. Like even just mentions Brahma Samhita, that you have Radharani in her position, and then all her associates, they're all imbued with that same mood. So it's coming from her. So conjugal rasa means it's they're being imbued with that from Radharani. It's not on their own. You know, and then from that, then you get the parental, like that. So it's different, right? You have the conjugal, which has everything in it, and then the parental has its own thing in it. And what were you saying about parentals not compared to anything else?
Yeah, a parental cannot be compared to anything else because...
So you don't use similes and all that? Or you can, but as long as it's to parental rasa.
It's showing it is parental rasa is the, like, without... It's like you cannot, it's mentioned that you cannot compare to make a comparison between parental with another thing because it's opposing. The rasas are always opposing. So.
Okay, with any other rasa.
Any other rasa.
Okay, but you can make a comparison of, let's say, the mother was protective of her children as the lioness of her cubs. Like that means parental rasa, parental rasa.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and so I said, you know, don't mess with Mama Bear.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because the bears are there and their babies are there and they're just sitting over there, they'll leave you alone. But if you walk towards those babies, that big old bear is going to come over there and give you trouble, don't you? You don't mess with Mama Bear. So sometimes in the kitchen, the kids are doing something, they're being, you know, Mom's not in the mood. So she may say, don't mess with Mama Bear, because you know, okay, you know, after this, there's trouble. Like that. So you can only compare within itself. Yeah, because you say Mother Jashoda, you know, loves Krishna like the brilliance of the moon. You know, it just doesn't work. Yeah. Like that. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
because the child himself is in the mood of servant to the parents, and his friends, his associates, and then his servants also become servant to them rather than him.
Yeah, yeah, the servants are servants of the parent, not his. That's interesting.
He cannot say anything in support of the child in front of the parent, and he will also get that.
Yeah?
Only along with the son.
Yeah, you don't get in between. Yeah, Prabhupada says you never get in between an Indian gentleman and his daughter. You know, because sometimes the daughter wants to be a devotee and the father's not like that, and so then you face that. You can't do that. You know. You have to work it out with the father. Then you could say, well, what about the mother? Said, why, who's the father representing? He said, no, this, that. Who's he speaking on behalf of?